Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. They returned to their hometown, Nazareth, in Galilee. The child grew up and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. I am sure you all enjoyed the Christmas season, and many of you were probably here last Sunday when it was Christmas Eve. And probably for the evening service when you had a lot of special music and the candles and so forth, all the alleluias that were probably sung that go with those Christmas carols. The crowds, probably more than the average, right? Every church is probably pretty much filled on Christmas Eve. But that was Christmas Eve. The time of great expectation, and this is the Sunday after Christmas, the time of great dissipation. Oh, we're still singing Christmas carols, and the decorations are still beautiful. And I know from past years when I've been here before Christmas, you've had a beautiful poinsettia tree, but that's gone because Christmas is over. And people took their flowers home with them, which is only but right. Yes, things are, we're still going on with Christmas in a sense, but the expectancy, the excitement, the anticipation is gone. And few things match the letdown after Christmas. Because now is the season of the crumpled wrapping paper, the overstuffed trash cans, the dried up trees sitting out there by the side of the road ready to be picked up, and maybe there's still some of those relatives who came in for Christmas who are hanging around, and you're wondering when they're going to go home. Isn't that awful to say? But for another Sunday, we're singing songs about the advent of the Master on Christmas. Yes, but we're thinking about the advent of the MasterCard bill in January. Yes, we have to pay the piper. For many of us, today marks the end of Christmas holidays. It is the resumption of business as usual in the office, in the classroom, or the shop, wherever you may be. Christmas marks more than just the child at Bethlehem. It is the grand intrusion of God into our lives with the great interruption by the angels rending the skies. But today, the Sunday after Christmas, we're on the verge of the great resumption. We're going back. As I recall, it's much the same feeling the Sunday after Easter. You may recall that too. It's called Low Sunday because things really drop off after the trumpets and the fanfare and the experience and the excitement of Easter kind of dribbles away. You know, then the next Sunday, oh, it's back to old hum again. Why can't we keep it going? I can remember when in one congregation where I served, we had a revival every fall, some kind of evangelistic event that would help to get people fired up and on the move and for the Lord and witnessing. And you know, it would go on for, that spirit would go on for a few weeks, and then the fires would slowly dim and eventually go out. And we wondered, why Can't we keep it going? We'd always say to ourselves, what can we do to keep the fires going, to keep everybody revved up? But you know, when we stop to think about it, you know, it just doesn't work that way in life, does it? We just can't be revved up all the time. There's some mornings we'd rather just stay in bed and not bother to face the world. And so this time of the year, we hear those words from Henry Van Dyke, and you may remember them. Are you willing to forget what you have done for others and to remember what others have done for you? To stoop down and consider the needs of little children? If so, then you can keep Christmas. And if you can keep it for a day, why not always? Oh yeah, that'd be wonderful if we could keep Christmas and keep those fires burning. But how many of you want to continue to go out every night and plug in those lights? And how many of you want to continue to hear Christmas carols? Now, where I was last week in church, you know, we had three services at different times. And don't you know, the music director picked the same hymns for all three services. If I have to sing, "Oh, Come All Ye Faithful" again, I'm not sure I could word it. I thought, you know, we've got a lot of hymns in this book. We could have changed those tunes around a little bit. I used to do that. I'm going to pass the word on. This is something else. But you know how it is. Can we keep it going the other 364 days? Of course, you know why. Nobody could live like that. Christmas is fine, but part of the fun of our Christmas celebration is that it takes us out of the ordinary, the routine, the expected. If you make it every day and routine, it wouldn't be Christmas, would it? And though we have to part with Christmas, part of us is glad for the Sunday after Christmas, because we almost feel, gee, this has been great, but I'll be glad to get back to normal again. Get this over with, put away all that stuff that we bring out for Christmas, and just get back to the normal routine. I mean, how many of us are going to plan a party for our friends every week? I don't think so. But there is that desire to want to do that. How fitting that today's scripture for the Sunday after Christmas is about Mary and Joseph and the babe returning to Galilee, to their hometown of Nazareth, after presenting the child Jesus at the temple. The Holy Family, it appears, is going back to business as usual. You know, the singing's over. The angels have gone on. In fact, you probably couldn't find an angel anywhere if you were looking for one. You don't hear any of that anymore. After Luke continues to record the story about Jesus saying, you know, things go back to normal. There's the threats from Herod, of course. There's the killing of the innocent that follows. There's so many other things that happen. But let's face it, and then they're going to go back to Nazareth. Don't you remember if someone said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's just a little old dusty town along a corner of the road, you know. It's just something worth passing by. And so that's what they're going back to. Is that what we're going to go back to? Is that Jesus is new, is something very new to us? Are they going to go back and resume themselves to the old routine? Of course not. Because something happened that Christmas that changed their lives. A babe came in to their family life. Joseph and Mary then were husband and wife, and they were going to now have this child before them that they were going to have to raise. The routine changes. As I said to a woman the other day, who, where I am a chaplain on Fridays over in Charlestown, West Virginia, I visit the OBGYN and greet the new babies and congratulate the mothers and dads and so forth. And, you know, is this your first baby? And she said, oh, no. She said, I have two others. And I said, oh, how old are they? And she said, 8 and 10. I said, oh, you're starting all over again. And in a sense, she said, yeah, but she's ready for it. And, you know, it'll be okay. But it's the beginning of something new. The routine changes. It's not going to be the same. There's someone else they're going to have to think about in their lives. And so that changes everything. And then as they go to the temple with the baby Jesus, they meet Simeon and Anna, who are two pious elderly people who've been waiting for the consolation of Israel, for the news of salvation to come that they know they're going to see before they die. And it is fulfilled. And Luke includes this story to remind us that Jesus comes as the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He comes to make things not just new, but to fulfill what has been promised by God. And Simeon delights. He says, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. And so he can leave in peace now. Anna goes around telling people about what she has seen. And it's just wonderful. For them, it's a wonderful experience. But we stop and think about, you know, about Mary and Joseph. They come with their sacrifice. That's all they could afford. That, what was it, 2 turtle doves? You know, a pair of pigeons or whatever. And 2 turtle doves, because that's about all they could afford. It would have been nice if they could have had a lamb. That's a much more fitting sacrifice for the firstborn. But, you know, they couldn't manage that. But the law said it would be okay. The law allowed for different economic statuses, you know, among people, realizing not everybody is made rich. And so they come as a poor couple to make their sacrifice to the Lord. Now, one would think that maybe, you know, Joseph would start his own religion after all what he's been through. You know, not only what he heard in the temple from Simeon and Anna, and not only what he experienced in Bethlehem. But instead, we find this couple doing what the law requires, a fulfillment of it, by bringing their firstborn to be dedicated at the temple. You see, there is a rhythm to this, in this story of Jesus, of continuity and discontinuity, of change mixed with tradition and intrusion and resumption. Our lives are a little bit like that too. Oh, if we could, we would like it all to be new, wouldn't we? We Americans love change. The new and improved model, you know? The latest fashion. The newest craze. Oh, yes, we love that. Haven't you been around in our county? I'm sure you have. And you see all these little strip malls that at one time or another were built, and they thrived for a while, and then something went wrong, the rent went up, or the business couldn't make it, and suddenly they become empty. And what do? We go down the road and build another strip mall. So it'll be something new. Oh, it'll be so much better because it's new. Yes, we're really into that. You know, what's better than having that new car? And that odor that comes out of that new car. There's just something refreshing about that. How many of you got a smartphone this Christmas? Some of you probably did. You know what? Your life isn't going to be the same now. You're going to email. You're going to text. You're going to hear bing, 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 and people are trying to get a hold of you. You don't have to answer a phone anymore, really. Just take your little smartphone with you. And you can communicate wherever you are. Life's going to be a little different. And it'll be okay. You see, what the gifts we get often sometimes change our lives. That's the same way I can remember when I got my first bicycle. I was in grade school, and it was, oh, my eyes just lit up when I saw that wonderful bicycle. You know, and I thought, gee, this is going to be great. And there were training wheels on it. Oh, yeah, you need the training wheels. You got to ride it that way for a while before you go on your own. And I thought, gee, this is going to be wonderful. But it was different. Then I had to learn how to ride a bicycle. After the training wheels came off, it was a little shaky at first. Probably was, you remember that too. But oh, how wonderful it was after I got going. And I still ride a bicycle today. Oh yes, that's even though I have a car. See, when we get something new, our gifts, many times will change the way we do things at Christmas, or maybe the way we look at things. And suddenly everything looks better for a while. And yet, how many of us hear this about religion? People get bored in church. Maybe you're already getting bored this morning. I don't know. But, you know, but we do, you know. It's the same old thing, right? Sunday after Sunday. The preacher tells us when to get up. Then they tell us when to sit down. Then they want us to read out of the bulletin. And, oh, just how it can be. You know, this is just an old routine. Nothing to it, right? Yes. But you know what? I've been to some of these other churches that don't like ritual, you know. They're not going to have any of that. No, it's going to be free and spontaneous. And doggone, you go week after week, and it's the same routine. Yeah, they might stand up and jump around and sing and dance and so forth. Yeah, they can do that. But it's in the same order every week. And I'm wondering, you know, I'm one church in particular I remember hearing about, oh, we just don't do that. But it's the same order. I get their bulletins. What's going on here? We like ritual. We like routine. And so it was also a part for Jesus and for Mary and Joseph. They liked that routine. They were part of that because it spoke to who they were and where they were. And so, as we look toward the new year, you know, let's be honest. We know the fruitcake and the cookies were great, along with those little hard, sweet, good things that are dusted with powdered sugar and get all over the front of your suit when you eat them at those Christmas parties. But isn't there a part of you, maybe the most substantial part of you, that will be glad to get back to the cornflakes and maybe even the oatmeal tomorrow morning? Maybe. It's one thing to be warm and spontaneous, but it's also another to keep faith through prayer and through our Bible readings. The most ecstatic moment in Simeon and Anna's life came when they met Jesus. They were prepared. They were looking. They were waiting because they were earnestly in connection with God every day. And so when it happened, it was a great moment for them. As we, in this Christmas season, we think about going back to the old routine. Mary and Joseph didn't. They had a gift. A gift that required their attention, their time, their energies. That changed their whole life. As Simeon said, this child will be the rising and falling of many in Israel. He will know the inner thinkings, the inner heart of humanity. and a sword will also pierce your soul, as we know that happened on that Good Friday to Mary. Yes, there would be those things coming. But in the meantime, there would be the business of taking care of the gift, of preparing it for the Lord, for the Lord's use. How will you prepare yourselves for God's use in this coming year? I would suggest that you do that by being attentive through your devotional readings, through your attending at worship, through all these many different things. God will speak to you and show you a way of things you should do in this coming year. You know, we had a water main break the other day, just right down the road from me. So we were without water over in Tammany Manor for a few hours, maybe about 12 and all together. Thank goodness the people worked all night to get that water main fixed and get us back with water. But I think of those people in Puerto Rico and other places that are still without the necessities of life due to the storms that caused the breaks in their own infrastructure. How they're still looking and waiting. Can we imagine what that would be like? So what do we do but reach out to these people? Maybe God is calling us to even reach out to children as we look at this message. Jesus was provided for. Mary and Joseph took care of him. But there are many children within our own community who have trouble getting food outside of school. Have you ever heard a child say, you know, I'd rather stay here at school than go home? Yes, that has been heard by some teachers, because home is not a nice place to be. And that's where we as a church can show some concern and reach out to those who are not experiencing the love and the kindness and generosity of others. That's why we have ministries like Micah Backpack and other kinds of things going on in the community, clothing drives and whatever, to help children out in their time of need. We have a woman in our congregation who started a furniture business to provide furnishings for children who do not have a bed to sleep in at night. Can you imagine going home and sleeping on the floor at night? No, or maybe just in a sleeping bag all the time? That seems to me quite unsettling. But Jesus is speaking to us, friends, to go out and touch the lives of others who do not know the love, the generosity and kindness, and the grace that our Lord has shown to us. As you begin this new year, think about those caught in situations beyond their control that need our love and kindness and generosity. God provided for Mary and Joseph, and God looks to us to help others who are in poor circumstances, who cannot afford very much. Try to help them with the opportunities and with our generosity to do better. Let us pray. Almighty God, we just thank you for your word that you speak to us, and for your concern for those of our people who are still experiencing their childhood, for our children who are growing and in need of so many things as they grow, that they can enjoy healthy lives and find what the true meaning of life is here. Lord, help us to reach out with our kindness, our generosity, and with your grace and love that we might touch and change the life of someone else. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.